Welcome, everybody, to Reds Ramblings. I have with me today Morgan Yanovich from over in Poland. She's a human rights activist, woman tech global ambassador, as well as many other things. Morgan, go ahead and tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, hello, everyone. As you said already, I'm a human rights activist. So that's what I do as a main activity in my life. I'm also a student. I study IT and international business. I'm also a global ambassador for Women Tech, which is basically an organization which supports women in the technological field, SDIM. And I also do other things, such as I'm involved in a political party called Green Party, which is getting quite big in Europe. Okay. And you also have it in the USA.
Not getting big, but we do have it, yes.
Yeah. So I'm also involved in the, some activities to support minorities such as LGBTQ plus community.
Yeah, I was looking at your Facebook page and it said like you studied at numerous schools and colleges and whatnot, and a good fair amount of them I couldn't even begin to pronounce. So I left it at what I could say, you know, I didn't want to butcher the language.
Actually I'm some sort of person that, you know, I like changes. So sometimes I like to start totally new chapter in a totally new country. So I, as you said, I already have studied in the UK in Portsmouth, University of Portsmouth. I also study IT now in Poland and in Poznań. The university is called Kolegium Da Vinci. And I also started international business in Turku in Finland.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've studied nowhere because I did enough in school to graduate. And yes, I regret it, but...
But and, you know, there are university in the USA, this is a really expensive thing. So
that too. Yeah.
But in Europe, I mean, excluding UK, it's free.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's that as well, because my wife goes to college now, and you know, the course she's taking isn't that bad, but well, once she's in the medical field, doing histology right now, and so she'll come back from, you know, school and studying for tests and whatnot. And I'm just like looking there. I'm like, I'm trying to help her, but I don't understand any of that. Yeah. I was like, see, at least one of us is pursuing an education, you know, formal education. I'm just, you know, trying to read things online and talk to people and learn it that way. So I'm doing it in, hey, at least my way is free. It might not be technically accurate, and you gotta, you know, obviously read on stuff online. You gotta kind of, you know, weed your way through the bullshit and what's real and what's not. So you gotta find your way through all that.
Sometimes it's really hard to distinguish what is really true or what is
yes,
fake.
Very, very true.
But you know, I have a lot of people from university, and they study something, but they don't really know what they're doing it for. So yeah. it's really important that you found something what you're interested in and you're really passionate about.
Yeah, I think for me, another reason why I never followed a formal college education as well is because I'm fascinated by a multitude of things, but none of them I necessarily want to follow into a career path for. If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I love psychology. I love trying to figure out why people think the way they think or the way they are, that kind of stuff. I don't want to do that for a career. You know what I'm saying? I want to learn like 5 different languages. I don't want to do something like that for a career, you know? I absolutely love history. Definitely don't want to do that for a career. So I feel... You know, I don't want to pursue that in a formal education sense for something I'm not going to use, you know what I'm saying, as an actual career path, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. But do you really want to learn 5 languages?
Yes. Mandarin, German, Russian, Japanese, and Spanish.
Wow, I can speak German. So So I can't do any.
The only German I know is from listening to Rammstein over the years.
That's about it, you know? Why Mandarin? Mandarin's so hard.
Because it's so widely spoken. You know, I feel I kind of Japanese because I love Japan. I love Japanese culture. Spanish because it's so widely spoken, you know, here on in the States, right? German because it is so difficult as well, and that way I know what, you know, they're saying in those songs exactly. Russian because, again, just like I think with Mandarin, it's so widely spoken. So yeah. I figure if I can eventually learn five of those five languages, I'll have a bulk of the languages spoken by a majority of people in the world. So that's why those five. I actually have I did a podcast the other week with a guy from Malaysia. Shout out to Siler. He does Mandarin classes. So I'm actually getting up with him in a week or two to kind of start that, kind of go on in that path to start learning my Mandarin. So hopefully
exciting.
That works out. Yeah, I'm excited for it.
I actually have a short journey with Mandarin at the university in Portsmouth. I started attending the classes, but it lasted like 3 months or something.
Yeah.
And it was so hard that I actually dropped out. Really. I'm not trying to discourage you or something.
Oh, no. This has been set in my brain for years and years and years. So, you know, got to do it at some point, I feel. I told him, I don't know if I'm going to continue enough to like get fluent in it, but if I could get to the part, you know, to the point where I can have a semi-understandable conversation with somebody over there, I'll be happy with that, you know. That way I'm not that tourist who goes and visits and I'm like lost, you know, looking at maps and trying to translate and butchering the language and sounding like an idiot. I want to seem like I'm competent if I go over there, you know.
All right.
That's kind of the deal. Yeah.
Good luck with that.
I appreciate it. I definitely appreciate it. So Poland, you born and raised in Poland?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Poland. And then at 16, I moved to the UK, but I was born and raised in Poland.
Oh, so you're in the UK right now?
No, actually I'm back in Poland.
Okay.
So I had a lot of like traveling time. So I moved to the UK and then to Germany. And then back to Poland. So now I'm in Poland because of the current situation.
Yeah. That's strange times we live in today, that's for sure.
Strange times we live in today. Certain. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit quickly about Poland. Like, since you've been to other countries in the UK, have you come across like things like misunderstood about Poland since you've traveled in other areas?
Yes, definitely. Like the first misunderstanding which comes to my mind is, for example, okay, I'm from Poland, I'm Polish, and then everyone thinks that, oh, you have to drink a lot of vodka or you're good at drinking.
Yes, I came across that. Yes.
Yeah, and it's really like I don't drink at all, seriously.
Yeah, that's the same with me.
Yeah, so, you know, and everyone is inviting me to, let's have a drink or something. I'm like, no, I don't drink. And I was like, are you Polish or not? So this is like, sometimes it's really like frustrating because this is repeating itself, you know? Mm-hmm. So and then there's also a thing like, so when I say that I'm from Poland and everyone is saying, oh, I know some words in Polish, but those words are not really, you know, so I'm not gonna say it now, but and then also like whenever I ask my friends from abroad, what do you think, what is your opinion about Poland, Polish people, you know, Poles, they move around and they work usually in the like building sites, like physical activities,
yes,
and we are really hard working. But also sometimes it's really limiting because, you know, when you think about a certain nationality as a, you know, physical workers only. This is like very, it's not really nice sometimes.
Yes. Yeah.
So those are the things which comes to my mind immediately. But overall, I try to, you know, to spend time with people who are not really into stereotypes and putting into boxes, because it's very limiting from what I think.
Yeah, I've come across since doing these, I don't even remember how many countries I've spoken to now, but I've come across a lot of instances where I'll go in thinking a certain thing about said country and talking to whoever, like, oh, that's not actually the case. You know, exactly. Anyways, you know, sometimes it's a little different or totally not the case at all. So definitely understand what you're going through there. Cause I've come across that, and I actually have a friend when the women I spoke to from Bahamas, Natasha, that's kind of her thing. Like, she has a podcast as well, Mindfro Travel, where that's what she does. She's been around and she tries to find those differences that people might expect of a certain culture, of a certain country. And she breaks it down like, hey, it's actually not this. You know, don't keep yourself from going to a certain country because you might see it some way. You know what I'm saying? That's her whole thing. That's what she does. And she's really cool at it and really great at it. And you guys, to kind of do a quick segue, and do it really quick. I don't know if you know, do you know you guys actually have a connection sort of with the Bahamas? Y'all have a weird connection. Yeah, okay. All right. So this just hit my head. In the Bahamas, you know, there's a whole bunch of beaches, right?
Yeah.
Poland has some beaches too.
Yeah.
Which I was not necessarily aware of exactly. But same how you guys have it when in Poland, in the Bahamas, they have a Pigs Bay Beach, which is known to have a lot of pigs on the beach. You have something like that as well.
Yeah, we have a lot of wild pigs.
Yes.
And I agree. But, you know, when it comes to those beaches and those things, this is like, I don't really like to swim in the Baltic Sea.
Yeah.
Well, and Bahamas, they're like absolutely stunning water.
Yes.
Waters. Wow, and it's amazing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've never thought about those similarities between Poland and Bahamas.
I was looking into, you know, I woke up around 3 o'clock to look up some stuff for Poland, and I came across that, and I was like, wait a minute, I've seen something like this before, and sure enough, it was from Bahamas. So both of you guys have essentially a pig beach, and I think yours was described more of like wild boars or something like that, where theirs is more like the typical pig you would imagine, you know, like hairless or just typical pig, I guess. But I thought that was a pretty unique connection.
I was on the walk last Sunday, I think, with my friends, and because I'm in the city, like bigger city. It's not like a city, but it's about 500,000 of people living here. And I really encountered this wild pig in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
It was with some small children or whatever it's called. And it was really scary. Like, those animals, they can be aggressive.
So. Yes. Yeah. So that's crazy. In the city of all places. Wow. Yeah. All right. So you said the thing that you seem to want to pursue a lot right now is women in tech.
Yeah.
Over there in Poland. And clearly that seems like something you're very passionate about.
Yes, indeed. Because, you know, everything started when I started my university in Portsmouth, and I realized that the vast majority of people in my class, they're guys, right? Mm-hmm. And there are only plenty of women there. And also, there's a stereotype that women are not really smart enough or something to pursue the tech. And, you know, some girls, they believe it and they don't really want to do anything in this direction because they're scared of the failure or the judgments. And, you know, I'm really sick of like putting women in the separate box. Like, as a woman, you can be a nurse or a vet or something, but not really, you know, doing manly jobs. So I started like getting more into the conversation of why there's so little girls doing IT or engineering. And so I found a mentor back in the UK, and she was like, she was a very lovely woman. She was like 80 something, but she was really experienced person. And she was one of the very first women who actually graduated in the UK and when it comes to engineering, chemical engineering. And she started like discussing with me how hard it was back then for her and everyday discrimination, like that you're a girl, so you're worse than us. Like, I'm not going to work with you in the team because you are a girl or something like that. And even though I've never met with such a direct discrimination, it really stuck with me. And I started like thinking what it would be to have more women in the field working together, because the more diverse the community is, the better results you can get.
Yes.
And also it connects with my love to equality and diversity. So basically it was around 1 year ago when I encountered one of the founder of the Women Tech conference. And she invited me to take part in the in some events there. And those events like allowed me to have a conversation with women from which works in the, for example, Microsoft or some really high tech companies. And we all shared the same opinion that we are lacking women who are brave enough to, you know, to break those this ice and try to push themselves more above those, you know, those stereotypes. And so through this conversation that I had with them, I realized that this is quite important for me to have more women working together, cooperating together. And I'm also studying IT now, and there are only, I don't know, a few girls there with me. And what I noticed also is that guys, they're very direct. So when they don't really know something, they ask directly about what is it, or I don't understand it. Whereas girls, they're more like, they try to hide the fact that they don't know something because they don't want to look stupid.
Yeah.
And it also then influenced, you know, how they're doing in the study. They feel low, they feel depressed, they want to drop out from the university because they don't get support from the teachers. But you know, this is like, this is a real deal. And so right now I'm working with some of the girls from the tech industry from all around the world. And I try to support their initiatives. I try to get in touch with women who are really struggling right now, because I can, if I can provide them support and I can help them, then it's really great. It's really, I get a satisfaction from that. And if it, you know, it's part of me because I do IT and I studied engineering and I know how important it is to have a support. If you're a minority in the group. So that's a brief introduction.
That brings to mind, I'm sure you've heard of this, the debate that's, I don't know if it's still going around, but I came across it earlier this year. about Albert Einstein's first wife and how much she contributed to the stuff he's credited for and not her. Is that something you're aware of?
Yeah, briefly. Yeah, I'm aware that there's still discussion about, because she contributed really a lot.
Yeah.
And I feel sometimes really angry that no one is really mentioning her. No one really knows her name.
Yeah.
And everyone knows Albert Einstein, but not his wife. And I think it's really pity that she was left alone.
Yeah. I did a podcast with a lady from Serbia, and we kind of got onto how a lot of people back in the day were credited for, you look upon people who do stuff that does benefit humanity and you hold them on this pedestal, right? But the things that they did wrong, or the mistakes that they had maybe as a human being or stuff like that, you don't speak about, you know what I'm saying? Because on top of, if I remember right, his wife, Einstein's, it was his first wife, not his second wife. They believe contributed a lot to a lot of the theories he ended up coming up with. Her name, Mileva or anyway, I don't remember how to pronounce her name, but it started with an M. I'm aware of that. But again, like you just said, you don't really hear about her at all. You only hear about Einstein did this, he did that, blah, blah, blah. But you also don't hear about how he cheated all the time on both of his wives or all of his wives. I don't know how many total he had. You know, he was, as a human being, incredibly smart. Yes. Also, as a human being, seemingly a shitbag.
Yeah, exactly. This is I agree with you, definitely.
No one really talks about that. And there's so many other cases like that where so-and-so did something great, cool, awesome, but they also did some dirty shit at the same time. And you kind of have to talk about them both, because nobody's perfect.
Exactly. And I'm really missing this conversation about the dark side of all the people who discovered something.
Yeah.
Because this is telling things only about those achievements. This is a kind of misleading kind of lie to me, because it's not the whole piece, right?
Exactly. And it doesn't necessarily, in my opinion, take away from what whoever may have brought to the world, but it still needs to be known. You know what I'm saying? So-and-so did that. And that's great. That's awesome. We are where we're at today because of that contribution. Same time that person was fucked in the head.
So I think we really should, as a humanity, we really should start thinking in a different way. And we should admit that some things happened and we should stop hiding those.
Yeah, everyone has their faults. No one's perfect. You make mistakes. It's okay. Depending on what your mistake is, it's okay. Just can admit to it. And, again, depending on what that mistake is, move along.
Yeah, exactly. But this is a bit childish behavior when you provide only this perfect picture of the person, because no one's really perfect. And as an adult, we all know that this is impossible to be perfect.
Exactly.
So this is... I think we should definitely start talking about those things, those hidden facts, because this is very important.
Yeah, it's a part of the story. It's a part of the picture. It should be said at the same time.
Exactly.
So let's get back to a little bit more Polish stuff.
Yeah.
I was looking into something, and so everyone has a birthday, right? The day you were born.
Yes.
You guys also have name days.
Yes. And you know that I realized that it's only us who celebrated 1 year ago or something.
Really?
And I thought it's really worldwide celebration.
No.
Someone told me what is name day? And I was like, wow, this is a thing for us. So, I mean, Yes, we celebrated mostly the older people because they stopped celebrating birthdays and they started celebrating name days instead. So this is a good thing, and this is a part of my identity. I always remember about my name days and about my mother's name day. And so this is like a part of the Polish culture. So we celebrate it in a very similar way, like a birthday. So we, for example, we are having a meeting with friend who's having a name day, and we just singing a happy birthday, even if it's not a birthday. We like have a coffee or tea and have a chat, and this is like more to just gather around and spend time together. So I think like your guys, you're missing the name days. I think you should start celebrating it.
Well, I looked into it. I'm trying to find it right now. I looked into it where mine is.
Where is yours?
If I remember correctly, it's either June or July 25th, because my actual name is Jamie. And one of the websites said it was like June or July 25th or 24th. My birthday is April 23rd. When is your name day?
Actually, pretty soon is
Okay.
25th of October.
All right. All right. Yeah, that's coming up right around the corner.
Yeah, actually, I'm gonna like invite some friends, and I mean, I'm not sure if it's possible to invite some friends right now, but
You can zoom everybody. Like,
yeah,
hey, at least do it like that,
yay,
yeah.
yeah,
Yell
that's
out
also
your window. It's my name day. People on the street be like, what's wrong with that woman?
Yeah, they're gonna think I'm crazy and
Yeah, the quarantine's got to her. She's crazy.
yeah, absolutely. But if not now, then next year when the virus will be over. So unfortunately, I'm gonna celebrate it somehow. I'm not sure how, maybe just zooming with friends and that's it.
What typically happens on a regular name day? Like, what kind of celebration?
Well, if you are an older person, then you are inviting the family and the whole family, which is available. And then you have a dinner together. You're just talking, chatting with each other. And after dinner, you've got like a cake or something and coffee. And then if you want, then you have something stronger to drink. Yeah.
Gotcha. Do you guys celebrate birthdays at the same time, or is it not as much?
We do celebrate birthday. Actually, I think name days became some sort of like old tradition nowadays. So we concentrate more on birthdays because it's more international. But I like to be original, so I celebrate name day
I mean,
more.
yeah, it's cool. It's cool. It's different. Like you said, it's very different. It's another day to celebrate, so who wouldn't want to keep that up, Why not?
Exactly. And you can give like presents to the person who is celebrating this name day. So I love receiving presents, so I always celebrate name day.
Exactly. No
Yeah.
one's going to say no to that. I don't blame you. I don't blame you
Exactly.
at all.
Yeah. So presents is also a very important part. I mean, it's usually that you receive some presents, either it's like a book. It doesn't have to be very big present or very expensive. But it has a book, like or some either picture or money or alcohol. Yeah, anything. I'm not saying that we're alcoholic here, right?
I was looking into another thing, kind of on top of name day, is Poland has some laws regarding naming children. Like you they have like if you want to name your kid something, you kind of have to get it okayed essentially by the government sometimes.
Yeah, you actually, after giving birth, you go to the somewhere, I don't know what's the name of the place, and you fill the form and you write a name which you chose, and both parents have to agree for that, and then they'll give you answer if it's okay or not. And if it's not okay because of some historical facts or something, events, or if the name is foreign name, or the name can be both for like what is it called, the androgynous name, like for both genders.
Yeah, like my also, name, my name's like that.
Yeah, so you also can have problems with that. So for example, my name, my original name on the birth certificate is different than Morgan. I use Morgan because it's more international.
Okay.
And I actually tried to change it in the Polish, you know, law, but I got to respond that because it's for a guy and for a girl at the same time, I can't really change it. So I have my original name is Daria.
Daria?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But I don't really use it.
Yeah.
Papers or something.
I got you. Like I remember. Well, I'm curious because my son's name is Malachi, Malaki. So it's not spelled like typical Malachi. So I'm wondering if that would pass their inspection. Because one of the things I looked into, they had like a list of names that wouldn't be okay. And like if two of them that stuck out was William and Victoria. And I'm like, those are pretty common names in my opinion. And I don't know. I know William's very old name. So maybe there's a historical reason. Victoria is a very old name. So maybe historical reason is as well there. But
it also depends how you write the name, because for example, Victoria, it's okay to have Victoria, but with the double, starting by double. But if you want to have a name Victoria starting by foul, like Victoria,
and it's
not really. I mean, I think it's on the list that you can't really give a name like this. So because the Polish culture, they want to stick more to the more Polish traditional names, so they created a whole list and they're making it bigger. Area, you know, but there are some parts when I agree that there should be a list of names which should not be allowed, for example, because of historical reasons. Some people can have strange ideas about naming the son of for example.
I would agree there. There are definitely some names that, like, why would you even do that?
Exactly.
Like that's ruining that child's life if you're going to name them that name.
Imagine, like, bullying at school or something. This is,
And I know in our country, it's when it comes to celebrities, my God, they...
They're choosing the pretty original names.
It's... Like, I love original names. I love, you know, the creativity sometimes. Like, that's why, even though Malachi is a biblical name, we spelled it differently to kind of differentiate it from that way of spelling. But then you look at, like, was Elon Musk's son is some weird, like, figure and number. I don't even know.
Yeah, actually, I was reading article about it, and I can't even pronounce his name.
I think he pronounced it on something, but it's like, whatever, man. Like, okay, all right, guy.
Right? So you do whatever?
Yeah, exactly. Like, ain't nobody going to tell him no, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm pretty lucky that I don't have, like, a middle name or second name, whatever you call it. Because there are some, the tradition is that you usually get the second name. Sometimes it's really like old-fashioned name. I was fortunate enough to have one name only.
But it works, because I know my middle name's a family name. It's been around for, you know, a few generations or whatnot, just passed down, so on and so forth. My son's middle name is his mother's last name, so that will probably get passed or something like that. But yeah, people pick some weird names. People pick some names that I don't think they fully think through.
Yeah.
Poor kids sometimes.
Kids are the victims.
Right? Yeah.
But you can always change the name afterwards.
Yeah. So. You can always change it. Sadly, it's a crap ton of money, though. And then you got to like do it after a certain number of years. So you got to live with it till you're an adult. But it seems Poland sticks to its traditions a fair amount. Like, one is obviously, I would assume that it's very prideful. The Polish people are very prideful, which is a great thing. Because there are a few countries I've spoken to that it seems pride is sort of shunned. And that, as an American, if anybody knows anything about, we are extremely prideful people, sometimes for stupid reasons.
But, you know, it's good. It's always good to be proud of, you know, the country you come from. If you come to this country, then it's absolutely fine. But when it comes to Poland, yes, I agree that we are very proudful. And I think it's also sometimes to the limits that I don't agree with, because, you know, it's easy from my perspective to misunderstand the love to your country with some sort of extreme nationalism. So also the person have to be very careful what to what extreme you love your country.
Yes.
I love Poland because, you know, they gave me a lot, and but I really get annoyed by the amount of hate that some foreigners or minorities receive in Poland. So of course there are plenty of people who are really friendly towards gays, towards foreigners, and there's not a problem with them, but there's a big group of more traditional people who are usually deeply religious, and I have nothing against religion. You can believe in whatever you only want, but I think there's a problem with acceptance in groups.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you there, for sure. Because like you said, it's great to be prideful. Like, I'm from America, born and raised in America. I love my country. At the same time, you kind of like we were talking about with, you know, historical people who did great things, you got to highlight the shit that's fucked up at the same time. It's not perfect. No country's perfect. Don't care who you are. My country is not perfect. Poland's not perfect. No, you name a country, it's not perfect. Don't care. That doesn't mean you can't take pride in your country. If anything, if you highlight like, hey, you know, I love where I'm from. I love the country I live in. But if we could fix these, you know, we have issues that need to be addressed, resolved, and corrected. It will make us an even better country for everybody. And same how, you know, you're speaking over there about, you know, the more old-fashioned individuals thinking a certain way. We have that. Hell, we kind of have a big issue with that going on right now. I don't know how much of American news is mentioned over there, especially how we have it now with the election coming up. And, oh, buddy.
yeah, there's a mess there.
It's crazy. It is crazy. But we're kind of dealing with that again. It's always been a thing, but it seems because the mess that this year has been for everybody, it's getting highlighted a lot more and spoken about a lot more than it would have, which is good, because it's kind of like you said, you know, I think we all know of the issues that are going on, but until it's brought up and spoken about, you know, the fact that you know it, but like, oh, okay, yeah. And you kind of like sweep it under the rug, you're not going to do anything. Like, it's going to stay the same. It has to get out in the open. It has to be spoken about, mentioned, you know, and ways, and it needs to be addressed, essentially.
I agree totally with you. I think the problem with Poland is that a church is still a big part of the country. Church is sometimes influencing in some decision-making things, which is not necessarily a good thing, because I think there should be separation between the government and the religion.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what religion it is.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the current government who's leading now, those are conservatives, and they really strongly support the vision of Christianity as a main, you know, pillar of Poland.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are some parts which I totally don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I'm not sure how it is in the USA, but in Poland, when it comes to Christianity, people have a clear vision about the roles of genders. Like a woman is for giving a birth or children, cooking, cleaning, everything, doing everything for the husband.
Mm-hmm.
While the husband is working for the family. And this is like sometimes really limiting vision because, you know, some guys, they're telling me that you should do this and not that because it says in the Bible like this.
Yeah.
So I have a problem with that. And also the homophobic reaction of people. This is like really disgusting. I don't really understand this hate. This is really annoying for me.
No, I understand that. Over in here, it's, I wouldn't say it's as bad as it used to be. We definitely still have that, like the whole gender role thing, like you were saying, like the women, you know, cook, clean, all that kind of stuff. That's not as, in my opinion, not as prominent as it used to be, but it is still there. There are still individuals that probably think that way for sure. I don't think it's as bad as it used to be. If I'm 30 years old and I can tell there's been a fair amount of change in the right direction.
Okay.
We're not where we should be, obviously. But there has been changes. There has been a more open-mindedness to sweeping across the country. I think one thing that I think that does help is, even though I would imagine a majority of Americans would say that it's a Christian nation, it never was. If they're really honest, it never was. Never was intended to be. And it's not today. But there's been a more open-mindedness. We have all the religions, you know, we have a fair amount of, you know, Muslims, Hindus, a little bit of everybody, a little bit of everything. And atheism is growing quite a bit over here. So you have a lot more people in power with different ideas and different thoughts. And if you share those type of antiquated ideas, you know, people do look at you differently. Like 50 years ago, you might have been able to get away with that, you know, with thinking that, with saying a woman needs to be in a kitchen or, you know, something like that. Can't really get away with that kind of stuff nowadays. There's been this huge shift in essentially cancel culture, which has kind of taken that to heart, sometimes in a negative way, in my opinion. Like, you're attacking stuff for no reason sometimes, depending on what it is. And it's kind of like with any type of movement, you have, like, the movement might start for a good reason, right? It'll start for a good cause. You want to make great changes to help out everybody. But every now and then you'll get a group within the group that has more extreme views, and they'll do something, and now that whole movement has a shadow on it because of the actions of a few, if that makes any sense, you know? Yeah. And you kind of have to differentiate, like, yo, like, we're not wanting that. They want that, and that's too much. Like, we understand that that's wrong. That's not what we're looking for. Like, I know we have, with the Black Lives Matter movement going on, there's been a lot of good done, a lot of good changes that have happened. But at the same time, you have certain individuals that take it too far.
Yeah.
And it casts a bad light on the movement as a whole. And it shouldn't be that way. It definitely should not be that way. So you always have that. And that's, again, that's within any type of movement. You have those bad individuals that take it too far. They always take it too far.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. because every extremism is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There should be a limit.
Yes.
If you believe in something, then believe in whatever you want, but your belief should be healthy for yourself and for
yeah. Yeah, because there's, I think an issue going around is, all right, that might be what you want, and it's hard to change minds sometimes, obviously, you know?
Yeah.
But you got to look at the big picture. Whichever country you're in, whether it be you over there in Poland or me here in the States, if what you want is not going to benefit a majority of the people, like, come on, man. Like, if you want to stick to how things were 50 years ago,
yeah.
Come on. Like, that's not how a nation grows. It's not how people get better. You know, you got to progress. You got to innovate. You got to develop. You have to, you know, get better. And the only way you get better is to do different things to, again, you know, grow and develop, learn new things and, you know, spread ideas out and, you know, figure things out that way. If you're just stuck in the past, then that's boring. Like, that's boring. That's backwards. That doesn't help anybody. And you can think that all you want. The world around you is going to move forward regardless. So you're going to be left in the dust if that's how you continue to be.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you.
Yeah. Not that people who think that way listen to my show. But if there is, if any of you sitting here or listening to this right now, like, that might be me. Hey, okay. Well, do better next time, I guess. I don't know. So, Poland foods. I love food. Absolutely love it. Probably wouldn't look at it. I get told I need to eat more all the time, but I love food. And one thing that hurt me to my core about Poland is your pizza. I love pizza. I love it. And how do you, like, it starts with a Z. Polish pizza is, let me, I'm going to try and pronounce this correctly. So my bad if it's wrong.
Go ahead.
Sapiekanki?
No, you're really good in Polish. Sapiekanki, yeah.
Okay, all right.
It's a big thing here.
Yes, any type of food website I looked up for Poland, it pulled that up. And again, I love pizza. I love it. We're having it today.
I love pizza too.
It's so great. Polish pizza, though, excuse me, has one particular odd ingredient. Like, you have your typical meats and mushrooms and obviously cheeses. You guys add something else onto it. What is that?
Is it something strange?
It's something strange to an outsider, I'll say that.
Well, it's not strange for me, but you can add anything to it.
Okay, well, you guys add ketchup.
Oh, but this is quite normal, right?
No.
What? Oh my God, how can you not add ketchup to zapiekanka? Like, seriously.
Because you already have pizza sauce, don't you?
But ketchup is a thing here. You have to add,
like,
ketchup.
I love, now I'll say this. I've put ketchup on my pizza. It's not bad. I agree. It's not something I like go for though. Like, I've done it, yes. It's not something I go for. And over there, it is big.
Yeah, because it's like you go to McDonald's and you order fries and you take fries with ketchup. And it's the same with zapiekanka.
No, it's not.
Zapiekanka and ketchup, and that's it.
See, I would say over here, it's more zapiekanka and ranch.
Mm.
Have you ever tried that?
I tried once, but I don't like it, really.
Really? I would say that's our version of it, is Americans, especially here in the South where I live, pizza and ranch go together. and it's great. I do love it. Pizza and ranch. But I'm one of those weird guys. Like, I love pineapple on pizza.
Me too. Oh my God.
It's the best. It's the best. I don't care. I've put some weird things on pizza. I saw on Facebook, you might have come across it over the years. Have you ever come across that candy corn pizza?
Yeah.
So I tried that one day. But no, don't ever do that.
Why?
Yeah. What does it taste like? Well, I got some weird pizza because I didn't want to get a regular big pizza and ruin it with candy corn. So I got like a small personal type pizza. That way, if it was bad, I could just throw it away and not feel, you know, horrible. So I think that pizza I got was just a bad one altogether. But it was weird. It was definitely weird. The, you know, pizza sauce, cheese, and candy corn. Ugh.
Whoa.
Was not good. So what are some other unique Polish dishes besides sepikanki?
Besides zapiekanki, we also have our version of dumplings. We call them pierogi.
Okay. So, is
yeah.
B-I-G-O-S? Is it that one?
Yeah, something like this. Yeah, similar. Yeah. Okay. But I think we're talking about the same thing. Yeah.
Okay.
So pierogi is, we eat it mainly it's a traditional dish for Christmas time. So it's like a dumpling, and inside you've got some mushrooms and some onion and some other things, some cabbage.
Okay.
And so this is the traditional way of eating pierogi, but also we introduced many other options, like some sweet pierogi with jam, with fresh fruits, with sweet cheese and something. So this is like, so basically whenever you go to the supermarket or the small shop in the corner, you can basically buy it, and it's a food to go because you can easily, you know, microwave it and eat it. But I think my grandma, she makes amazing pierogi. Yes. This is it.
Okay.
This is amazing. Like this is the best thing ever. Like I love pierogi.
I mean, it looks good. Is it? I'm assuming it's fried as well, right? Fried dumplings.
Yes, you can fry it, of course, but yeah. We boil it mainly.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So this is like the first thing which comes to my mind when you ask me about Polish food. So this is amazing.
Right here.
Yeah, this is right here. Made me so hungry.
It is lunchtime for you over there. That's for sure. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll go to the shop later.
And I'm assuming then you could put whatever you want in it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can be as creative as you want. So you can basically put the meat there, fish. I mean, I'm not sure if someone's eating fish. But you can if you want, of course. You have vegan options with tofu and everything. So this is, you know, whatever you like, you can put it there.
And which type is your favorite? Like, what if you had a type of favorite ingredient, what kind would it be?
I have at least two favorites. So first one is with strawberries.
Yeah.
It's a sweet version.
I got you there.
Yeah, so I love it. And then I like a vegan version with tofu and some vegetables.
Okay. All right.
So those are my two favorite types.
I was looking into something. I love cheese for one. I love pizza. I love cheese. And I love peanut butter too.
Oh my God, me too.
Peanut butter is delicious.
Yeah.
Oh.
Peanut butter and jelly.
Yes. That's why I live off peanut butter, jelly, and pizza. If you ask my wife, that's all I could live off that forever. But for cheeses, I've never heard of this. You guys have an apple cheese. Is that something familiar to you?
Yeah, we have it. My grandma actually is eating it. I don't really like it, but it's not that famous here. But some people, they like to eat it because I think it's more traditional. So
Yeah,
so also you can find it in some shops.
Yeah, it piqued my interest because the color. It's dark.
Yeah, actually, I was surprised when my grandma brought me a piece of it. I was
looking
at it, and what am I supposed to do it?
It looks burnt.
yeah. Actually, it's not really delicious from the picture. But
yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, yeah.
I think if you have a chance, then you can definitely try it.
I mean, I like apples. I like cheese. I think I would try it, but it does look weird for sure.
And also apples, this is a big thing in Poland. We produce a lot of apples and we eat a lot of apples, yeah?
So okay.
My favorite fruit.
Apples are good. Apples are great, yeah.
We produce the best apples.
The best.
Yeah, best in the world.
I know my son loves applesauce. My wife loves apple juice.
Oh.
Peanut butter and apples. Oh, that's my thing right there.
Yeah.
Peanut butter and apples. I can go through a whole jar of peanut butter if I have apple slices with it.
Exactly. Me too. That's why I don't buy peanut butter very often.
You get carried away. You get carried away. I've been there. Trust me. Oh, yeah. So in terms of if I was to visit Poland one day, where would you take me? I'm a tourist. Where would we go?
Well, at first, I would definitely invite you to my city, Poznań, which is, I'm not sure how far from Germany, but it's near Germany. It's not the biggest city. I think it's the fourth biggest or fifth biggest city in Poland.
All right.
But people here are really amazing, are open-minded. Mm-hmm. They speak English. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my, that's my city. This is it. Yeah. This is the main square here. And those colorful buildings, those look really amazing. So
reminds me of Netherlands. Netherlands has buildings that look very similar, very colorful, very upright and slender.
Yes. Actually, I have a friend from Netherlands and she came here and she said exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I agree. I'm not sure if it's about the architecture style or whatever, but we have similar buildings. So this is like really beautiful central part of the city. So mm-hmm. around those buildings, you have like restaurants, you have shopping malls, you have some museums. So this is really the top place to be in Poznań. I mean,
all right. Now
everything is close probably, but
yeah.
But really, in the summer, this is really amazing. And it's full of, you know, life and people are singing on the streets. And mm-hmm. So things are happening a lot. This is like, you can feel that you're becoming a part of the city and everyone is really welcoming. And yeah, you should definitely come visit Poznań. And then of course, after Poznań is number one, then we've got our capital city, Warsaw,
mm-hmm.
which is the biggest city in Poland. And they also have some nice places and people are really amazing. Warsaw, of course, is the most international city in Poland. There are a lot of international students there.
Okay.
So you definitely will feel like at home. And then the third city is Krakow, which is their historical part. So if you're like museums and history, as you mentioned the beginning, then you should definitely go and visit Krakow after Poznań.
Yeah, I absolutely love museums, architecture, sculptures, stuff like that, nature. Because there's definitely another thing that I've noticed since doing these episodes with people from around the world is, you know, America's been here a few hundred years. As our country anyways, as America. So we don't have like old architect. We ain't been here that long. Over there in Europe and UK in general, just that side of the world in general, there have been people living there building homes and houses for thousands and thousands of years, civilizations, empires, you know, all that kind of stuff forever. So in any country, you could easily go up to like a building or castle ruin that's been standing for possibly thousands of years, and we don't have that here, you know. So yeah. I'm looking at that like, I want to go there, there, you know, like I want to go all over that place and see it and just feel the history that's there, you know, because
for you it's like a paradise, because you know that you're historical, you love history, so it's something for you. And Poland, I'm not sure what type of history you love the most, but when it comes to Second World War, then we're a place to go to visit.
Yeah, I love more of the ancient history.
All right.
I mean, because that is, I mean, since we have to go there, it is a big part of Poland's history. You know, World War II and everything, for some not so good reasons. But I think if I'm right, I would imagine that's one of the reasons why Poland is so proudful, because it took it, but it survived. You know, it rebuilt. Poland's been rebuilt from everything that happened. And that in itself is something definitely Poland as a country should be extremely proud for.
Yeah, definitely. I actually have had a chat with my grandparents, because they were born 1 year after the end of the war. And they were describing me how it was after the war. Mm-hmm. So, of course, members of the family died, and it was a really hard time. They had no money, lack of food, lack of education. Mm-hmm. And they were basically, as children, they were sent to some parts of the city to clean them and to help rebuild those buildings or those parts of the streets. So, and I also, a few years back, when my grandma was still alive, she also was telling me the stories from the, I'm not sure if you are if you know the Auschwitz.
Yeah.
So this is, yeah, so because my both grandparents, they were sent to Auschwitz, and only my grandmother survived that. And she was basically telling me what was happening there and the hard part of it.
Yeah.
And I actually, like, back in the school in Poland, we went for a trip to Auschwitz to visit the museum and to see what is there and to get to know history more. And so I remember my reaction to what I saw there, because those are pictures of victims and some shoes, for example, some parts of the clothes. And it stayed with me for long, and I got really emotional. Because I'm an emotional person. So I started crying immediately, because I could not really, you know, handle all those feelings. And the feeling that, you know, people my age and younger, they were being killed there. And it's not only, because people get this misunderstanding that in Auschwitz they were killing Jewish people only, but we should remember that Jewish people were Poles, and they're also killing some soldiers from Poland, some activists from Poland, and Polish teachers, and people who are actually bringing positivity to the nation, and trying to basically kill them all. So but it's a quite sad topic.
Yeah, I mean, but it's one of those things that needs to be known. So hopefully something like that can never happen again. Definitely. That's a big blemish, huge scar of humanity that, should never happen again. To get on to something more lighthearted, Smingus Dingus.
Shingus Dingus, yeah.
Oh, God.
You said it. Well, so you can, yeah, I think you're ready to move to Poland. I think you got this, you know.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it.
Welcome, welcome, Poland.
But, so explain that to me.
But so you don't have Schmingus Dingus.
No, right. No. Like I.
This is like why. This is like it's hard to understand for me. Schmingus Dingus is in April, from what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's in April. So you basically Schmingus Dingus is to basically get wet, like you get some water pistols or some, I don't know, anything, and you fill it with water and you just splash it everyone with the water. So it's just to, I mean, nowadays just to have fun and to have some childish time.
And it's like you guys celebrate it during Easter, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see, here in the States, we do, you know, Easter egg hunts, you know, little plastic eggs filled with candy. We do stuff like, we don't grab a whole bunch of water balloons, water, you know, pistols, water buckets. That's not us. That's not what we do. Now, it sounds fun, and I guarantee if I asked my son if he wanted to get some water guns, he'd be like, hell yeah.
Yeah. You know,
he'd be all for it. But no. That is not something we have here.
But see, I'm surprised, like, why? Why are you not doing it? Because it's so much fun, right? This is like, you should, you know, do it. You should introduce this Schmingus Dingus to your friends over there and start celebrating it.
Hey, I'm all, again, water fights are fun, so I'm all for it. Me and my wife, when we got married, we kind of sort of did that in a sense. We did it because we got married this year during everything. Appreciate it. Thank you. We had original plans like up in the mountains in front of a waterfall. We had to kind of cancel that, right? So a friend of mine kind of literally in about 24 hours put together something real quick in her family farm. And we went out and made it official. Right after that, though, we got water balloons and threw them all at each other.
Oh my God.
We did. Yeah. Yeah. I got videos like me, my son, and my wife throwing water balloons at everybody. Yes.
Oh, that's so nice. You're like introduced a part of the Polish tradition into your wedding.
I guess so. I guess so. Yes. Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Wow. Cool. But see, this is another part. I didn't know that you don't celebrate Schmingus Dingus, because for me it's so obvious that we just do it.
For, like I said, for us it's for Easter, it's basically Easter egg hunting, you know. You dye we'll dye eggs as well. A lot of chocolate bunnies everywhere, but
yeah, we do well.
Yeah, but water balloon fights and stuff like that, not a thing. No, I'll start it this year.
Yeah, and let me know how it goes.
I will. One thing also that caught me off guard that I'm pretty sure even at this point you'll realize is kind of strange for Poland as well, is I came across multiple times in terms of like dubbing on TV for movies and whatnot. I think you know where I'm going at. Yours, it said, is done by one person, whether it's the male or the female or a child, one person dubs the language.
Yeah, but you know, it was so obvious for me. And then I moved away to another country and I was like, wow, this is like really, really well dubbing.
Yeah.
and then now when I try to watch something with a dubbing, then it's like, it sounds so strange to me.
Yeah.
But I really saw no problem with that because it was so obvious for me that there's one person, you know, but it's a save of time if you put one person who is talking, because you don't need to gather so many other people with different voices, with different genders. So this is saving of money and time.
So do they still do it like that over there?
Yeah.
Really?
I know, it's so strange. I know, I'm aware of that.
Yeah, that one's a strange one for sure.
Well, you know, I had one Italian guy pointed it out, and at that moment I realized that, yeah, you're right, we got one dubbing guy. And so right now I can distinguish like their three the most common dub people who are giving a dubbing. So they have a strong voice and they're good in doing their job. But
Do
I am,
they
yeah.
at least like change it up, or is it the same voice, whether it's a child, a woman, a man, old person?
No, there's the same voice. So you got the 2 years old child saying, hello, what you doing? Yeah. So yeah, it's funny. It's funny. I agree. But you know, this is normal for me. So
I mean, it does save money. You got to pay one person at that point, but
yeah.
I think at least change up your voice, you know, play the character somewhat, make it semi-believable.
I would like have a one girl and one guy, and they should talk
Yeah,
distinguish.
especially like I can only imagine. I'm sure it's on YouTube. I'm gonna have to find something on YouTube later. Like if it's like an intimate scene. It's you know what I'm saying? Like that's
Oh
gotta be awkward. That's
my I'm gonna check it because
oh.
I'm sure I encountered some, you know, something like
Yeah,
that, but
that's
it was so normal for me that yeah, but this is funny. This is actually I realized that this is something different. So I know in other countries in Europe you have few people talking.
Well, even I might be wrong. If I remember correctly, it's Netherlands. Netherlands, they don't dub. They do subtitles. And the reason for it, if I remember correctly, because I spoke with Lady Barbara from in Netherlands, one of the reasons for it is they don't like if they take on something from another country, like a foreign movie, they don't try and change it. Like they keep it as like they'll put subtitles so you can read it in Dutch, but they won't dub it. And there's been a push here recently, if I recall correctly, to start dubbing it. But they like to keep everything authentic. So if they get a Polish movie, they'll play it and they won't alter it in any way. If they get an American movie, they'll play it. They won't alter it. They'll put subtitles, but they don't try and make it their own. You know, they keep it original. They what's the word I'm trying to think of? They, I guess, honor the whatever culture it comes from. You know.
But I love it. This is like a great idea for me. Like I would love to watch to hear the original actor saying something and I can read it. Then it makes more sense.
Yeah, I mean, even like a lot of people who've learned various languages say that's one of the easiest ways to learn as well, is to listen to it. That way you know how that word's pronounced, but then you see what it actually says in your language. Because I know, going back to the Lex who I spoke to from Serbia, she moved to somewhere in South America at one point, if I remember correctly. Doesn't know, did not know the language at all. And she stayed with the lady. And eventually, just from hearing that language for weeks on, she started to pick it up, you know, because she could kind of, with context clues, could figure out, okay, that word means this and this means that. And she kind of picked it up gradually over time, just from hearing it all the time.
This is amazing.
Right? It's kind of
It's
cool.
always for me. It's really takes time. It really takes time to learn a new language because I don't know. I think I have some problems with learning languages.
Well, I mean, you know one more than me. You said you know German at least, and I only know mine, and I know English, you
English.
know. So you're doing better than me already.
Thank you. Thank you. And when it comes to movies in the USA, how is it? How does it look like when you have some, let's say, Polish movie in the cinema? Do you have subtitles or dubbing?
You have both. Depending on who distributed, I'm assuming that movie, you can have both. And you can pick, like, if you, like, I prefer subtitles. I'm cool with listening to the original thing, you know, of language. As long as I can read, so I'm fine with that. But a lot of times, you can, if they do, they do have the option for the dub as well. It all depends, you know, because subtitles are easy. You know, you just type out what it is. But like you said, with dubbing, you have to hire people who know that language to recite it. So a lot of people just go with the subtitles because it's cheaper, especially if like it's an indie film, you know, like a small time film. Yeah, they're not going to waste time hiring people to dub it. They'll just get it subtitled and call it that. And that's how I prefer my foreign films or something like that. Definitely. Yeah.
So when you have a dubbing, do you have more than one person who is?
We have more. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Now, sometimes, depending on the voice actor, you might have them do multiple parts, but unless it's like a children's program, because I know we do it a lot of times, like cartoons or whatnot, like a young boy will be voiced by a female, right? Like an adult female. But for like a legit movie, you'll probably get, you know, if it's a girl, you'll get a girl actor. You know, if it's a boy, you'll get a boy actor to do the part. There's definitely not one deep voice guy doing both parts. And
I see that.
You strange. Know, man, and, that's.
what about some movies from English speaking countries, but for example, from the UK? Because sometimes it can be hard to understand different accents.
Good question. I can't think of one particularly that is subbed. If you could give an example, I might be able to do that. But I would imagine if it is hard to understand, even if it's just strictly because of the thick accent, that they would at least subtitle it. They definitely wouldn't dub it because it still would be considered English, just hard to understand. So they would clarify it at least with a subtitle, I would imagine. Because I know we do that even with movies we make here. Like, let's say the person's, you know, playing a drunk part, and you're slurring your words. They'll sometimes add subtitles just so they, you know, we understand what they're saying. You know, so we'll do it like that.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I want to ask, if we're on the episode or on the topic of language, what you guys have a language created from a Polish person that I've never even heard is essentially like an international language.
Yeah. So there was a one guy who who created a language, universal language for all people to learn. It was the grammatic and the vocabulary.
What I got. Yeah.
Esperanto. So, Esperanto. Oh, they have flag. I didn't know that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
A language has a flag. And it was created by Ludwig something.
Laser Zamenhof. Zamenhof is German, but I think it's Jewish. That's
why. Yes. He's a Polish ophthalmologist, linguist, and the inventor of the international language Esperanto, which I've never heard about.
I heard only a little tiny bit. Mm-hmm. So this language is universal, and it's quite logic to learn and easy. So it's so that's why he created it, so people can actually learn.
Yeah, I mean, according to this, it seems like he just put all these languages together, essentially. So you got your Polish, Italian, Russian, German, and English, and he came up somehow with
luck.
Yeah,
but this is like amazing. Like, imagine having a vocabulary or some parts from Italian and Russian. This is like, wow, what a mixture. I love it.
Because I know here in the States with again, since we have a lot of Spanish-speaking communities around, you know, there's essentially a Spanglish, you know,
English.
where if you know both languages, you might, if you, and let's say you're saying a sentence, half of it might be in Spanish, half of it might be in English. You'll just go back and forth between the two, and that's how some people just talk.
Do you also use the mixture of Spanish and English?
I don't, because I don't know it.
All right, okay.
And I'm one of those. I know certain words in various languages. Like I do know some Spanish words. Again, I know some German words. I know some Japanese words.
Ooh.
Not enough to carry a conversation in any of those yet.
Yet
Yet.
to come,
It's
yeah.
gonna happen. Yeah, my wife knows Spanish. My brother took French in high school.
Right.
Don't know if he can speak it anymore, but I know he did take it. See, that's one thing that I wish my country would do more is teach kids, you know, second languages.
Yeah.
Because I know around the world, a lot of countries do that. Like you speak the local language, whatever, from whatever country, and a lot of times they learn English at the same time. You
Yeah.
know, I'm assuming that's. Is that how you were brought up as well? You learn Polish and
Yeah.
English at the same time.
Exactly. I started learning English from the kindergarten.
Yeah. And see, we already know English, you know, we're taught English and that's it. Yes.
But you can communicate with everyone around.
I
This
mean,
is.
yeah, we can, but like even again in my high school, my high school was the only time we learned had the option for a second language. We didn't have that
Oh.
option, yeah, in elementary school or even middle school. We only got that option in high school. So, and I'm sure it's different in different states around the country, but it seems to be in other countries, second languages, sometimes even third, are done at a younger age. You know,
Yeah.
like you in kindergarten or just elementary schools in general. Or even
Yeah.
middle school. Ours is, you know, depending on where you're at, like mine, high school. And we only had Spanish or French.
And no other choices.
No other choices.
When it comes to me, I started English in the kindergarten, and then in the elementary school I started German. And then in the middle school, I think I could choose between Spanish and German. And in the high school, I could choose between Spanish, German, Italian, and some other languages, French.
Yeah.
I was taking German only.
Yeah, see, like when I hear that, it sucks for in my opinion. You know, like it saddens me because if I could have done it way back then, hell yeah, I would know five languages right now. But
Yeah.
I didn't have that, you know, I didn't have that option. I feel that's kind of something I would love if we could adopt more. You know, like I know I would love to teach my son various languages as he gets older. Right now he's learning how to read anyways, and
Oh.
that's a fight sometimes in and of itself. But
Oh.
yeah, I would love to do that because again, if I'm to travel anywhere, like I would love to at some point, I want to be able to hold a semi-decent conversation and not seem, you know, I don't want to get that, oh, as a tourist, like, no, I can speak the language too. You know, I want to have that. I
Yeah,
have that.
absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I feel fortunate that I could choose to
Yeah.
learn the second and the third language, definitely. But you know, it's all up to you, because if you can attend the classes and you can be there, but if you don't really have a motivation to study this language, then you'll learn nothing from it.
Yeah.
So even though I studied German and from the primary school, I actually learned it while living in Germany, and
Yeah.
because I was using it every day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have a friend in one of the military bases that we have over there in Germany sent me like her schoolwork essentially for learning German. I haven't even opened that up. It's somewhere lost in my emails. I need to pull that out and try and look into it. Because I listen to a lot of foreign music in general, but definitely a lot of German music. and I don't have the time. I don't know what they say, and it just sounds cool to me.
That's it. But you've got motivation to learn.
I got the motivation, that's for sure. I just got to actually go through with it. I got to take the step.
Yeah, exactly. You can start watching some videos in German or Japanese or Mandarin. Yes. Mm-hmm. And start from cartoons and then progress slowly.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. It's in the works. It's in the works for sure. Before we go, I want to mention another thing that, because we spoke about how Poland loves its traditions. Yeah. You know, you have, again, from an outsider's perspective, an odd one in killing dolls. You have a doll killing tradition. Yeah. Marzana, if that's correct.
It's called Marzanna. Marzanna.
Okay.
And that is Marzanna. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, we do it. I mean, I used to do it together with Paul in the primary and middle school. So we just basically were going to the bridge and we are just throwing the doll to the river. So it's like to say, oh, that's so cute actually. So but it was a big deal, but nowadays you know, because of the you can see that there's people wearing traditional so it's a part of the tradition, but nowadays because of the the ecology, you're not really allowed to do it anymore. Okay. I mean, you can do it, but then you can clean after
the thing
is done. But I remember, I have many, many memories with it. I remember like each class from the primary school, we're doing the separate doll and we're like making it look so pretty and good. And then just to throw it away and just burn it and something like that was a bit sad. So this is like definitely a big thing. I think nowadays, some people still do it, but you have to
I said I read that it was like it done to essentially bring in spring, like the doll represents winter and you're essentially killing winter to bring forth spring,
the winter and
spring.
Yeah, so that's a pretty cool thing, I think.
I
mean, maybe you can do it in the USA and show other people how we do it in Poland.
I mean, if fire is involved, I'm all for that. I love fire. That is one thing I absolutely love. I'm glad it's getting winter over here. Like, we're in fall right now, but winter's close approaching. And as soon as I can light my fireplace, I'm a happy man at that point.
No, I hate winter. I mean, I don't hate it, but I don't like it. I prefer sun.
I'm a redhead, so I me and the sun do not get along. We are mutual enemies. I don't like him and he don't like me.
okay, I see.
Well, Morgan, I've had a blast talking with you. I hope you did too. This has been great.
Yes.
Hopefully say what?
I did enjoy it a lot.
I'm glad. I'm very glad. Hopefully everything that you're working on with equality over there get where it needs to go. Is there anything you would like to end on? If you have anything, like anywhere people can reach you maybe to assist with what you're doing over there?
Yeah, definitely. You can find me on LinkedIn or Facebook. So just write Morgan Janovic. Mm-hmm. I can also send a link so
you
can reach me out. And I'm happy to have a chat with anyone if you want to talk or if you want to get to know more about what I'm doing recently or what I've been doing recently, then just let me know. Let's chat. Thank you.
No problem. I will hit you up if I ever go to Poland and I want... You know, you can be me and the wife's tour guide over there for everything Poland related.
I'm invited. And with your son, of course.
Oh, yes. He would love it. He would love it. I'm sure. I mean, open town squares like that, he can just run around free and everything. He'll have a blast. He'll have a blast. Cute. Well, Morgan, again, thank you very much. You have a good rest of your day over there. Go ahead and get you some
Lunch.
I'm trying to, oh, what is it? Zeppicanki. Zeppicanki. Go
Zapikanki.
have you some zeppicanki and pierogi,
Pierogi, exactly. Zapikanki
pierogi.
with ketchup and pierogi.
There you go. There you go. Have
There you
yourself a good one, Morgan. Thank you.
go. Thank you. Bye bye. It was a
Bye.
pleasure.